It's always a wonderful thing when you can experience the presence of God, not just by faith, but actually just sense the tangible presence of God in your life in a setting. The Word of God says, where two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is in the midst of them. Amen? And where the presence of God is, where the Spirit of God is, for God is His Spirit, there is liberty. Praise the Lord. I want to state right away that when you come into the service, when we gather ourselves together, every time, without fail, you should receive your healing, receive the answers that you desire of God. Not because somebody came and touched you, but because you're in that presence where anything is possible. Amen? Anything is possible. You're in the presence of God. And the covenant isn't there. Everything you want, the fridge isn't there and empty. Anything you want, it's there. Praise God. Just go in and take it. Take it. Hallelujah. Know it is given to you freely of the Lord. Praise God. So put no impossibilities before God. Man has what he says. Your body says what it says. But God has the final say.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
His word is final.
Hallelujah.
Amen. My head may be pounding, but when I come in, I say, thank you, Lord, I'm healed. I am healed. I shall live and not die and testify of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The doctor, the physician may have given their rendition of what they think is, but I know by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Actually, 1 Peter says, ye were healed. It says it's past tense, it's done, it's finished. Praise God. May I tell you something? God is Shakatumbandika. Oh, my Lord. You know you can have peace in the midst of troubles, right?
Yes.
Okay. Your body, listen. Come. Listen. Hear. Your body, your symptoms, everything can be saying that, let me use an extreme case, that you are full of cancer. Huh? But in spite of that, you can be living life to the full, and the cancer, as full as your body is with it, cannot kill you. Come. That means that you are not going to succumb and fall apart based on what your body or what man says. Just like trouble can be all around you and you can be in the state of peace. Sickness can be all around you and you are walking healthy. So don't bow down to your circumstance, because the circumstance does not have the final word. I'm not just telling you those words because I wanted to tell you something. I'm telling you what I'm saying to you right now because I heard it from the Lord. I heard the Lord just a few minutes ago speak it into my spirit. Tell my people the circumstance is not what determines it. Your body can be full of sickness, high blood pressure, whatever else, and it cannot kill you. Did you hear?
Yes.
Did you hear?
Yes.
It's not the circumstance. Never agree with the circumstance. Agree with a God who says, by his stripes you are healed. I'm walking in divine health. I am strong. In the midst of the battle, I do not fall apart. I am walking in divine health. Who is that word for? Because that word is for somebody. Hallelujah. Come with me to the book of Luke, chapter 21. Verse 15. Verse 18 is my key verse, but I want to take it from verse 15. Wednesday last, I believe it was, during the Bible study, I was sharing with the saints about the power of the Word of God and how your words change your season. Your words. How it changes your season and how praise gets you through that new season of God that you are in. Amen? I want us to explore a little bit about your words, how it triggers things and how it determines things for you. Now, right here in Luke chapter 21, verse 15, it says, for I will give you a what? A mouth. God says, I will give you a mouth. Hallelujah. And not only am I going to give you a mouth, I'm going to give you wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. God says, I'm going to give you a mouth. I'm going to give you wisdom. And your enemies will not be able to resist the wisdom that's coming out of your mouth. Praise the Lord. This is God's way of shutting down the systems of the evil one. So I'm going to give you a mouth. I'm going to give you a voice. I'm going to give you supernatural intelligence. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. He says, so don't start fretting and worrying yourself about what you're going to say or what you're going to do. It says, forget about that. Let me go further. Verse 16. Watch this. It says, and ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Verse 17. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Verse 18. But there shall not, what? An hair of your head perish. You're going, all of this attack, but not an hair of your head is going to perish. That's just like what I was just talking about a moment ago. In the midst of your crisis, you can still thrive. Oh my God. I said, in the midst of your crisis, you can still thrive. I'll say the third time. In the midst of your crisis, in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of all the problems and circumstances, you can still thrive. And you will thrive. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 19. In your patience, possess ye your souls. In your patience, take hold of your mind, your will, your intellect, and not let it bow because of the circumstances around you, because God has promised you that not a hair of yours is going to perish. You will live and not die and testify of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Men will look at you and say, why aren't you dead yet? We gave you 2 weeks, and 20 years later, you are still here. But it doesn't look like anything has changed. Oh, what has changed is that God is God in spite of your problem. You will thrive in spite of your circumstances. God will cause things to grow. Oh, I remember a dream that Mama had many years ago. She said, I saw corn growing out of snow. That's the God I'm talking about. In an unusual setting, God causing you to thrive. They threw 3 men inside a fiery furnace. After they heated it up more times. I don't know how you can get fire hotter than it normally should be, but they figured it out somehow. But it didn't matter. The ones that were throwing the guys in got burnt. The ones that were in the midst of the fire were walking around. And not only were they walking around, there was a 4th man in there. And when they came out, there was no smell of smoke. God saving you in the midst of your problems. That's who we're talking about. You see, what the enemy wants you to do is confirm your circumstance. Rehearse it. Worry about it. But God says, I don't need you worrying about anything. I have already overcome. The peace I give to you is not the kind of peace that the world gives. The peace that the world gives is the problems are gone. So now I'm at peace. And God says, no, I give you peace while you are in the trouble. It doesn't matter what's happening around there. I am your keeper. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I have a God who keeps me. How do we experience this change? How do we walk in this peace that passeth all understanding? Is that what the Word of God says? Peace that passeth. In other words, people are looking at it and say, how can you be at peace? This is confusing. How does this work? Well, it works because God is in it. Look at us. We are in this ball called Earth, floating in space, and we're not falling out. There are people in the North Pole, there are people in the South Pole. All of them are seeing heaven at the same time, they're seeing the sky. And nobody's falling off because God holds all things together. It is not for me to figure out how he does it. It is for me to know that he does it. Hallelujah. I was telling one of my sons the other day, I said to him, listen. God is a God who meets all of your needs according to his riches in glory. How he does it, he figures that one out. So as I tell him the story, I said, you know what? Many years ago, I said, we had no money, nothing. I said, we used to go to all of the thrift stores in town. Drove from one thrift store to the other, to the other, to the other. I said, and we'll buy clothes. And it was like somebody emptied all of their brand new clothes and put it in there. And they happened to fit me. And they fit Mama. And so we're always sharply dressed. Some of those suits that I got then still had the tag on it. And I paid $5 for it, $10 for it. I said, you will not know that we were broke because we were always sharply dressed, just like I am. Don't I look good today? Look at that. Hallelujah. God was making provision. Nobody could tell that we didn't have money. Because God was covering us. Then one day Mama said, we're on Watt Street. There was a Salvation Army thrift store on Watt Street. We came out of that place, got into the car, and Mama said, we're not going back to these thrift shops anymore. I said, what is this woman talking about? How are we going to get clothes now? Mighty man of faith. She says, if God can provide for us here, he can provide for us in the good stores. I say, oh my Lord. What is going to happen? That was the last day. We didn't go to the thrift stores. We ended up at the bay and were buying clothes at the same price as the thrift store. I say, hey? Who is doing this? God. God was making provision according to what he has set apart. He knows how to provide. But what changed our thrift stores days to the good store days? The mouth. What came out of the what? The mouth. It is what's coming out of your mouth that is determining what your season looks like. And if you're going to move from grade A or grade 1 to 2, it's going to happen with your mouth. It's going to happen with the confession of your mouth. You saying the same thing like God is saying. Until you come into agreement with what God is saying, you stay in the same place. Nothing changes. So in essence, your prayer is a prayer of agreement. What did I just say? Your prayer is a prayer of agreement. You are agreeing with God. And you are agreeing with your brother. If any two of you shall agree concerning anything, it's going to be done. And the agreement is in your words. What's coming out of your mouth? But the greatest point of agreement is agreement with yourself. You come into agreement with yourself. You know, you can be saying something with your mouth and your mind is saying something else, and you are double-minded. Hello? And God's word says a double-minded person should not expect to get anything. So if you want to make a shift, you want to make a change, you've got to come into agreement with yourself, with God, and with those with like mind. And say, this changes now. And as soon as you come into agreement, the change takes place. If there is disagreement, nothing happens. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was going to raise up a little child, drove everybody out that weren't in agreement. He said, the child is sleeping, and they started mocking him. He said, all of you out. Get out. Everybody out. Out. There's a time when you have to kick other people out because they are not in agreement with what you are believing for. They may agree with something else, then bring them in for that something else. But this one that you know God wants to do for you, that they are not in agreement with, they don't need to know anything about it. Get them out. Somebody listening? You need agreement. Agreement with God. Agreement with yourself. An agreement with those that are around you who are of like faith. Hello? That's when in your patience you possess, you take a hold of your soul and you say, soul, this is what's going down. This is what's going to happen. You're going to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. If you are in here and you're not going to bless his holy name, get out. I replace you. Your body must line up with the word of God. Hallelujah. The command, the promises of God is a command to be obeyed. Hallelujah. In Proverbs chapter, or Psalm chapter 81, Psalm 81, this is a psalm that you know very well. We've looked at this passage before. Psalm 81, beginning to read from verse 8. Psalm 81 and verse 8. He says, hear, O my people. This is God speaking now. He says, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. I'm going to speak to you. O Israel, if thou will hearken unto me. If you will hearken unto me. Verse 9. I want you to note this verse here, because this is a fundamental verse. There shall no strange God be in thee. No strange God be in thee. No strange voice. No other point of worship or commitment in you. Neither shalt thou worship any strange God. Verse 10. I am the Lord, thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And then it says what? Open thy mouth wide, and I will do what? Fill it. Just like he said, I will give you a mouth. Amen? Open your mouth wide, and I will do what? Fill it. Not with your words, with my words. Who's going to fill it? The Lord God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. The Lord God who brought you out. The Lord God who what? Brought you out of the land of Egypt. How did he do it? Open thy mouth and I will fill it. Who did he use? A guy who said, I'm a stammerer. I don't know what to say. Open your mouth wide. I'm going to change your season with your mouth wide open, saying the words that the deliverer, God, the deliverer, God, the God of covenant, is going to fill your mouth. I am your God of covenant, and I'm going to fill your mouth. Open it wide. The opening is your responsibility. The filling is his responsibility. Let me say it again. The opening of your mouth is your responsibility. The filling of your mouth is his responsibility. Third time. The opening of your mouth is your responsibility. The filling of your mouth is his responsibility. Whose responsibility? The responsibility of the God who brings people out of the land of Egypt. Out of the house of bondage. Out of the house of deception and strife and oppression. I am God, the God of covenant, the God who says, you are going to stay here only this long, and I'm going to get you out. Open your mouth. I will fill it. Next verse. He says, but my people will not hearken to my voice. I told them what to do, but they will not listen. And Israel will none of me. Why? Because they did not possess their souls with patience. When you don't possess your soul with patience, in recognizing that when you let patience have its full operative work, you come to a place where you lack nothing. You've got to let patience take operation in your life. But they will have none of me. I don't think this is going to work. Well, just like you said it's not going to work. Guess what it's not going to do? It's not going to work. But you believe the word, then you can, just like Peter said, Lord, if that's you walking on the water there, bid me come. And Jesus, our Lord, said, come. And guess what? The man puts his foot over that boat and started working on what? But it was not water. It was working on the word. The word was on the water. It was the word of God that it was walking on. And as soon as he started doubting the word and looking at his circumstance, he started sinking. That's what happens to so many people. You know, the doctor says, you're going to die from this disease, and you come into agreement with it, and you die. Or you can believe what the word of God says and decide, I'm going to live in spite of. Because God causes things to grow even in the wilderness. Hallelujah. He will cause you to be filled even in famine. So the determination of your victory must not be tied to your circumstance. The presence of a circumstance or the absence of a circumstance. It is not, I'm not going to be at peace because there are no problems around me. I'm at peace whether there are problems or no problems. Because I'm attached to the Prince of Peace. Capish? You got it? Says what they will not hearken. Next verse. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust. He said, I gave them up. Because God is not going to resist you. He's going to let you do what you want to do. And they walked in their own what? Counsels. When you resist the plans of God, the word of God, then God will let you walk on your own wisdom. But he said, I'll give you mouth and wisdom, and no foe, no enemy, no adversary will be able to stand before you. So he gave them up. Okay, that's what you want. That's what you got. Next verse. God says, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, if they had only listened to me, and Israel had walked in my ways. 14. I should soon have subdued their enemies. If they just listened to me, I would have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. That's what I wanted to do. But they were not patient. That's why I said I should soon have. Because your timing and God's timing don't necessarily line up. But this I can tell you. The lag time between God's timing and your timing, he sustains you through it. Let me say that again. You think that if it doesn't happen right here, we're finished. And God says, this is when I want to do it. And you get here and nothing has happened. God will keep you until it's time for him to do what he needs to do. That's why he says, not a hair on your head is going to perish. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We're reckoned as sheep for the slaughter, but we are not going to be slaughtered. For he causes us to be more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I should have soon subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. Verse 15. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him. But their time should have endured forever. Hallelujah. Verse 16. I like this. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey out of the what? Rock. Should I have satisfied thee? I would have satisfied thee with honey out of the rock. Wow. Not just water, honey out of the rock. But all I needed for you to do is open your mouth so I can feel it. That's it. Open your mouth so I feel it. Lord, I don't know what to say about this particular situation. I open my mouth unto you. Lord, feel it, that I may prophesy over this situation. And you start speaking in tongues, worshiping God, and all of a sudden, you speak what needs to be spoken that will change the season. Amen? Hallelujah? Let's look at another passage. God says, I would have given you honey out of the rock. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. The verse that I want is verse 13, but I'm going to take it from verse 12 first, verse 12 through 14. And then I'm going to give you the keynote to why this is possible. Remember what God said in Psalm 81 about no strange gods. Remember that? Look at it again. So the Lord alone did lead him, talking about Israel, And there was no strange god with him. 13. He made him, watch this, this is key. He made him ride on the high places of the earth. Why? That he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Verse 14. Butter of kine and milk of sheep with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. How is that possible? How is it that God caused us to ride in high places? Come, let's go back to verse 12 again. Watch this. Verse 12. 32 and verse 12. The Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange god with him. Verse 13. Watch this. He did what? Made him ride on the high places of the earth. This is key. In other words, made him ride on the high places of the earth. Now, how is this happening? This is happening when you dislodge the principalities and powers that are operating in the realm that determine whether you're going to make it or not. God brings you to that realm so that you can eat the increase of the fields. That victory in the high places where you bring down principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and all spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, when you bind that strong man in the high places, you get to enjoy the benefits of the blessings in this realm. Are you with me? But how is that possible? Let's go to verse 1. Verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will do what? Speak. When you speak, what do you speak? Words. And hear, O earth. So I speak to the heavens, I speak to the earth, the words of my mouth. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let's go back, look at it again. Give what? Ear. Now, could have just said the same thing. Hear, O ye heavens. But what is God communicating? Just like he was able to speak to the fig tree and do something there, God wants you to come into agreement with heaven and say, God, I want you to give ear to what's happening in the earth. Come, come, come. I don't want to lose you. That's what fixed the transmission in my car that was dead. Transmission, you hear me. You are fixed. That's giving ear. Giving it ear. Are you with me? If you lose what I'm talking to you about right now, you've lost too much. Give ear to that manager, because I'm about to speak. God It says, the deaf that have ears, the blind that have eyes. They have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. Somebody needs to hear your voice. As you speak, they need to hear. So the Lord says, let them, those that have ears, hear. So I want something to change. I have to dispatch from heaven ears for that thing to be able to hear. Are you capishing? Yeah. Kundere masoka. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. I'm going to speak when there's hearing. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Next verse. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. As the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. In other words, everything measured and dealt with as they should be dealt with. Precisely. We don't want heavy rains hitting that rose. We want dew. Are you with me? God, whatever everything needs to their appropriate measurement, I release this word. Let it be dispatched as needed. Glory be to God. Verse 3, watch this. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. I will publish, I will proclaim, I will declare the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Praise the Lord. And verse 4, watch this. Why? He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. I am going to declare God's word. What words are these? The words that he's filling my mouth with. And those words shall not be resisted by the forces of darkness. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 51, Isaiah 51, verse 14, I encourage you to read Deuteronomy 32. Read the whole chapter. You need to move on. Isaiah 51, verse 14 through 16. The word of God says, the captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. 15. But I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. Verse 16. Watch this. And I have done what? Put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may do what? Plant the heavens, and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. I've put my words in your mouth, and I've covered thee in the shadow of mine hands, so that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. The words of God in my mouth. The words of God in your mouth. It is changing the atmosphere. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul writes, he says, we have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I what? Spoken. If you believe, you speak. Praise the Lord. If you believe, you do what? You speak. We also believe and therefore what? Speak. You don't believe if you have not spoken. When you believe something, you speak it. Even when it doesn't make any sense to anybody else, down the line, they will say, he said it. I didn't believe it, but he said it. He said this was going to happen. Well, it didn't make any sense because the circumstance that we're facing didn't say that we will be able to have what he said. But here we are. And some people say, I knew it was going to happen. I always knew it was going to happen. How did you know? You didn't say anything. But when we all begin to say the same thing, things begin to happen. Actually, the Bible tells us that God, looking at man, saw them saying one thing. And the one thing they were saying was they were going to build this tower and it was going to get up to the heavens. And God said, I better scatter their voice. Because if their voice is one, nothing is going to be impossible for them to accomplish. Rather than call each other down, it's important for you to agree with something that you know you need that will make things different. Rather than hopping on the negative things that you've seen with your natural eyes. Well, you know, God showed me in a dream, you know, the church was packed with all kinds of people and I didn't even have a seat to sit on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many people have had dreams like that? Look at all those hands. Praise God, you're still here. There's some people who had those same dreams that are not here. Why? They did not possess their soul with patience. And one day they say, well, I saw it in a dream. Why aren't you here? I saw it in a dream. Hallelujah. I had a vision. Yes, glory be to God. So what are you saying? So you come and you see, oh, I saw my bank account full with all kinds of dollars. And I was busy just blessing people with it and giving and blessing people and just blessing people. And the more I was giving it away, the more it was coming. God, I'm so broke. Which is it? Which is it? You're so broke or you're so blessed? When your pocket is empty, that's when you say, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Blessed to be a blessing. Who am I going to give something to? And you get your 1 cent and give it to somebody. What? You should be keeping those add more and you have more. No, I'm going to give it because that's what I saw in my dream. I saw it. And I'm saying, God, I'm going to bless people today with the nickels that I have, with the dollars that I have. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing it. I thank you, Lord, that you've already started it. I'm in agreement with you. Earth, hear my voice. Yield your increase unto me now. I praise the living God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yield your increase to me. Let me tell you something. Some of the most tight times that I've gone through financially have been the times that I did more things and accomplished more things. And if you are looking at me, you say, oh, this guy is so loaded. And I say, amen. But you didn't see my bank account. Praise the Lord. I say, God, you see the bank account, right? Hallelujah. You're feeling it, right? And that's when I start doing things that I should not with my natural mind do. But I decided that I'm not going to use my natural mind to make that decision. I like to do this, but my natural mind said I don't have the money to do it. But that's what I want to do. And God, you knew that I was supposed to do this before I got here. So, Lord, here we go. You're making a deal and you don't have the money. And when the bill comes, it's paid. That's crazy. But you grow to that place. Amen? You grow. You grow by God giving you experiences and settings that cause you to take steps. And before you know it, you start running. But you know one thing, it all is in here. It's in your mouth. How you are agreeing with God. You believe, therefore you speak. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we still together? Now, in the book of Hosea chapter 12 and verse 13, we read these powerful words. Hosea chapter 12 and verse 13. The Bible says, and by prophet the Lord brought Israel out of what? Egypt. What do prophets do? They prophesy. Prophesy what? With words. Yes? And by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he what? Preserved. It's the prophetic word that preserved them. The prophetic word gets you out. The prophetic word preserves you. The prophetic word that preserves you is a prophetic word of praise. See the children of Israel crossing out of one side of Egypt across the Red Sea. And when they get to the other side of the sea, what do? They start praising. Is that not what they did? In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20, we hear this declaration. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be what? Established. 2 Chronicles 20, 20. It's perfect. In the year 2020, 2 Chronicles 20, 20. Praise the Lord. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be what? Established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you what? Prosper. There's prosperity by the prophetic word. There's increase through the prophetic word. Amen? Let's go to the next verse. 2 Chronicles 20, 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed what? Singers unto the Lord. And that should praise the beauty of what? Holiness. As they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Do you see the connection? It's changing and it's preserving. You need those two. And those two things are showing up in your prayer and in your praise. In fact, your prayer should be a declaration of the word of God. It's not about begging. It's about declaring. May I say that again? Your prayer is not about what? Begging. It's about what? Declaring. Let's say it again together. Prayer is about what? Declaring. Not what? Not begging. God didn't call you to be a beggar. God called you to be a declarer. You're speaking God's word because you believe that you've been filled with his word. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to what? Speak. Let me look at another passage of scripture. Numbers 14 and verse 28. This is very key. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 28. Numbers 14 and verse 28. Hear what God says. Say unto them, God is speaking to Israel through Moses, says, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. But in this particular case, they were speaking negative things, and God says, since that's what you want, that's what you got. But the principle is still true. As ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Does God say that you're going to be tailed? What does God's word say? That you're what? Head and what? Not tail. Does God say that you're going to be beneath? What does he say? That you are above and not beneath. And that which is from above is what? Above all. Connect with the word of God. In fact, you must scrutinize the words that are coming out of your mouth based on the word of God. If it is not the word of God, it is sin. Because it's not based on faith. Can I say something to you? Most of the prayers that we pray are prayers based on the problems that we have generated ourselves. You may not want to hear that, but that's the truth. If you've been busy speaking sickness, foolishness, stupidity, craziness, confusion, because you've come into agreement with that, then that's what you're going to have to be fasting and praying to get rid of. How easy is it for you to, let me put it this way to you. Is your house a garbage dump? Okay. So if you saw garbage in your house, you will take it out, right? But if there's a garbage dump, what do you do at the garbage dump? Do you go cleaning the garbage dump or you dump garbage there? Okay, if you are coming into agreement with the lies of the enemy in your house by reinforcing it, you are calling your house the garbage dump. That makes sense? But if you see garbage in your house, what do? You remove it. You do whatever it is that removes it out of your house. So if you see sickness in your house, do you reinforce sickness or do you cast out sickness? If you see strife in your house, do you reinforce it or do you cast it out? If you see poverty in your house, you reinforce it or do you cast it out? Because it does not belong in your house. Is that right? Okay, so the same thing is true. You don't keep on reinforcing what you don't want. You eliminate what you don't want and establish what you want. That makes sense? We can resolve a lot of issues just simply by saying what we want, rather than reinforcing what we don't want. If your child is a dummy and you're calling that child a dummy, don't complain when the child is a dummy. It only makes sense. If the child is acting like a dummy and you go there and say, oh, you're so smart, kid. You're so smart. You are so precious. And God is doing a mighty work in your life. The child will say, huh? What I did was dumb. She's calling me smart. I better act smart. And not dumb. Reinforce what you want. Eliminate what you don't want. That makes sense? Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 13. Proverbs 12 and verse 13. Bible says here, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. But the just shall come out of trouble by the righteousness of his lips. That makes sense? You get out of trouble with your mouth. You get into trouble with your mouth. Hello? Your mouth. Is either going to keep you in the trouble or get you out of the trouble? What you say, what you come into agreement with. You and I must connect with the perfect will of God. God has a will in heaven. I need to link up with that will and call that will in heaven manifest in the earth. For if you ride in the heavenlies, you eat the increase of the field. Capish? Well, let us stop there. Not even close to being completing the thought, but I think we have enough for now to reflect on. Praise the Lord. Your words are important, saint. Your words are important. What you are agreeing with is very important. You know, when the Lord spoke to me to share this with you, I said, but Lord, we've shared things like this so many times before. Why do we need to share this again? He says, do it until everybody gets it. Amen? Praise the Lord. We all need to get this. In the beginning, God. Yeah? Created the heavens and the earth. And what did he do? Did he confirm the darkness? What did he do? He said, let there be light. He said what he wanted. That's not burying your head in the sand. It's what you want. What do you want? Say it. Oh God, I'm so broke. That's not what God wants to hear. Is that what you want him to do for you? So what about, I thank you, Lord, that I am righteous. And in the house of the righteous, the upright, there is wealth and riches. I thank you, Lord, that I have wealth and I have riches. Blessed be the name of the living God. You shall have what you what? Say. Is that what the word of God says?
Yes.
You shall have what you what? Say. Oh God, I'm broke. Is that what you want? I am blessed and highly favored. Is that what you want?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Then say that. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh God, you are my God, and I'll forever praise you. Hallelujah. Do you receive that? Then shout a big hallelujah unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for the privilege once again to share the word of God with the saints. Everyone here, you're not here by accident. You're here by God's perfect will. And healing is in the house. Deliverance is in the house. Peace is in the house. Harmony is in the house. Goodness is in the house. Receive everything God has for you. Go into the fridge, the freezer, and take what you need. Go into the cabinet, open it wide, and take what you need. Everything you need is available to you. Just receive it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. Somebody say, I'm blessed.
I'm
highly favored.
Blessed
to be a blessing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Give a good clap offering unto the Lord.